Welcome to the official Equine Affair podcast. This podcast is your inside look at everything to do with Equine Affair, from special events to exclusive interviews with top equine professionals and a whole lot more. In today's episode, we're chatting with J.R. Robles, who is one of our featured clinicians at Equine Affair in Ohio, and then we'll have a word from our sponsor, Wall. You don't want to miss this amazing episode. As I shared at the top of the show, J.R. Robles is joining us today to share about his journey in the horse world as a trainer and clinician. J.R. is located in Sherwood, Oregon. His program is focused on reining, cow horse, and colt starting using a natural horsemanship foundation. We are delighted that J.R. will be presenting with us at Equine Affair in April, and we're even more excited to have him here on the podcast with us. So let's welcome J.R. to the show. Hi, J.R.
Hey, Allison, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great show. I am really looking forward to just having a conversation with you about horses and about horse training and kind of your journey. So can you start us off and tell us how and when did you fall in love with horses?
So my story is a little bit different than the rest. I started a little bit later in life. I started getting into horses when I was 25. I didn't grow up. None of my family members were into horses. At 25, I didn't even know what a halter was. I didn't know what a gelding was. I didn't know what a mare was.
Wow.
I had just graduated college a couple years before that. And so I had my nice job. I was working for one of the hospitals nearby, and I was in a suit and tie every day going to work. And then I met a girl and she was into horses, and she was telling me about what she did with horses, and she was like, "Do you like horses?" And I said, "Yeah, of course I love horses. They're amazing." And so of course that wasn't true. But so she was like, Do you want to come out and see the horses? And I said, "Sure." So I went out with her to her barn, and I remember her opening up a big sliding door, and she said, "Hey, all the horses are going to come into their stalls." And I said, "All right, awesome, cool." So she went open up the sliding door, and then I remember seeing 14, 15 horses running into the barn, and I just freaked out. And so I ran up the stall wall, and I'm hanging on the bars like off the ground because I was so terrified.
Oh no!
And she looked at me, and she put her hands up, and she's like, "You don't know anything about horses, do you?" And I said, "No," as I'm crawling off the wall. And she's like, "Do you want to learn?" I said, "Sure." So she gave me a pick, and we started cleaning stalls. And I don't know what it was. It was just that at that moment, I was like, "Man, this is cool. Like, I want more of this." And so, you know, little by little, I just started getting into to. And she did a lot of natural horsemanship, and she's the one that introduced me to the names like Clinton Anderson and Buck Brenneman and just bigger names that were doing a lot of the natural horsemanship, Warwick Schiller, mm-hmm. you know. And so it was kind of cool to dive into a whole different world that I had no idea existed. And you know, fast forward 11 years later now, 11 and a half years later now, and I'm traveling the country and, you know, headlining horse expos and giving clinics all over the country is absolutely insane. So, but yeah, my introduction to horses was just very different. And so people assume, based off of how I am around the horses, that I've been doing this for forever, but I haven't.
That is an amazing story. Oh my gosh. So my jaw was dropping when you were telling me this, because especially it's funny to me that you mentioned Warwick Schiller. And you're going to be presenting alongside Warwick Schiller at Equine Affair.
It's been a full circle moment. I've had quite a few of those the last 2 years with mm-hmm. working with people that I used to, or I still look up to, not used to, but I just remember watching their videos and trying to learn as much as I could. And so it's definitely a full circle moment with Craig Cameron and Warwick Schiller. It's amazing. Right. It's such a blessing for sure.
That's awesome. I had no idea. That is amazing. So, so you went from, you know, virtually climbing the walls when horses were coming in to being a headlining trainer and a successful trainer. Where in that journey of 11 and a half years did you go from I'm going to learn to ride and enjoy them recreationally to, no, I'm going to do this for a living?
It was probably when I, as much as it shouldn't be about, but it was at the time, financially, mm-hmm. I saw that there was money to be made. And I found it pretty easy, where I would take a horse in that didn't have any training and I'd put some work on it and then I'd sell it and I'd get another one. And it just kind of, I'd kind of do that. And, that's kind of how it started to happen, where I was like, oh, this is good money. But it was around the time when the economy was super low. So I was getting horses for free or for $200-$300. And so I'd put, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months of training, and then I would sell them and I'd make a profit. And so for me, that was something that I was like, okay, well, this is a good way to make money. And then I liked that I didn't have anybody to answer to. I was, you know, mm-hmm. I was my own boss. It was kind of nice to just be like, okay, I can do this at my own time, on my own time, and not have to worry about that. And then the more I did it, the more I was just like, I don't want to sit in an office all day. I don't want to mm-hmm. be writing things down, and I just want to do my own thing. And that's kind of how I was like, I'm going to transfer from, from what I'm doing to horses. And my mom was very much against it, because she was like, you went to college, you got your degree, and what are you doing? Like, why are you throwing all this away for something that you've never even done before? And so I just said, hey, mom, like, I don't know what this is, but I love it. And if it doesn't work out, I always have my degree to fall back on.
Right.
And she was supportive, but she was being a mom, and she was just like, I don't want you to struggle. I don't want you to fail. And, it's because it's so new. None of us knew anything about it. So for me, it was foreign territory to go into horses. But that's kind of where I saw there was where it was lucrative. And I was able to do things on my own time.
Right. It was lucrative. It was fulfilling in a new and unique way that I imagine your hospital job didn't really fulfill you the same way. So I can see why the horses would pull you in that direction. And then if things kind of fell into place, I mean, why not pursue this new dream and see where it takes you?
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of factors that played into it. And just being around the horses for me was so therapeutic, because again, it was something that I had never been a part of, and being around them, there was just something that just made me happy. Right. And so I was like, this is cool. That's something that makes me really happy and I can get paid for it. Like, not a lot of people can actually say that. And so that's when I was like, okay, well, I there's something here, and I at least want to see where it leads. I don't want to just walk away. I want to see where it leads.
Absolutely. So you've mentioned your degree, and you have a degree where you majored in sociology and minored in psychology. So I wanted to ask you, do you still use those degrees in your horse career? Do they help you when you're working with horses or with people?
Most definitely. I think everything that I learned in school is something that even to this day, I still apply, not just with the horses, but with the people. And it all goes hand in hand. Stuff that you learn on how to interact with people, you use that on how to interact with horses, and it just kind of goes back and forth. And I feel like I probably wasn't the most patient person. And with horses, I feel like you just have to be, otherwise things just don't get done mm-hmm. correctly. And so with horses taught me to just be way more patient. And so, now if something happens, everybody knows that I'm never going to overreact. It's just like, okay, well, that happened. Let's fix it. Let's get through it and let's move on. Mm-hmm. And so, so even though I had learned a lot through school, I felt like the horses were also a teacher for me. They were teaching me a lot, and I grew a lot. In the last 11 years, I've grown so much and learned a lot about myself because of the horses. And so, but mainly for me, it was just being able to understand and putting myself in the horse's shoes or my client's shoes, and being able to understand, like, why are you being this way? What could possibly be triggering these thoughts, these emotions, and then being able to have a positive way to go about it instead of saying, okay, I handled this horse this way before, so all the rest of them have to be this way. Or I've had clients like this, and so now all my clients have to be this way. And so just being able to navigate that. And so like right now we have 16 horses in full-time training. I travel on the weekends to do horse shows. I travel on the weekends to do horse expos. Mm-hmm. And so I do clinics also on the weekends. So I'm traveling around the country doing that. And so I deal with so many different horses, and I interact with so many people. And so I have to be able to be very fluid in order to navigate so many emotions, sometimes so many egos, mm-hmm. Personalities that, you know, it's sometimes tough, and, you know, I'm human. So I do have my moments where I'm like, this is stressful, but at the end of the day, you know, I have to remind myself that I'm in a position that, not a lot of people can be in and would want to be in. And so for me, that's my motivation, is that I'm so blessed to be able to do this for a living now, but using that schooling to navigate through all those tough times and the good times too, to appreciate and know how to go about things. It's definitely been super helpful.
Well, I think that's why. So your first 25 years of life were pretty much horse free, and then you went through school and had these, you know, got this degree in these two fields. And so I think that brings you, let me rewind. You bring with you this interesting perspective that's a little bit different than the horse trainer who grew up in the horse industry, who maybe got those preconceived notions filled in where Correct. This horse is always like this. For you, it's a totally new field. You've had 11 and a half years in it, and you've learned a ton in that time, obviously. Yeah. But
correct.
You have this different perspective that I think is really fresh and probably gives you a different view on everything. Yeah. And I think that's fascinating.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. It's interesting because when I first started, you know, I didn't know who I should listen to and who I shouldn't listen to. And so mm-hmm. I was just like, yep, any information or advice that you have, I'll take it. And so, you know, slowly I got to see certain people doing stuff with the horses, and I was like, that doesn't seem right. You know, the horses seem pretty scared. They seem like they're terrified, and they're uncomfortable, and they're in pain. And so I was like, I feel like there has to be a different way. And so for me, seeing a lot of what some people would consider old school cowboy methods, I that's where I was like, you know, where I would say, hey, I'm going to use a different approach. And I didn't really know that the approach that I was using was really tapping into the natural horsemanship. Mm-hmm. And so for me, once I started diving into it more, I was like, this is my thing. Like, I really want more of this, because I feel like you get a better relationship with the horse and with people too. And so for me, having to learn, and I've always said, you can learn from people, you can learn what to do and what not to do. And so I learned what not to do very quickly. And then I learned what kind of people to kind of stay away from, like still listen and still be respectful, but just kind of go about it a different way. And so, but you know, I've made my mistakes where, I learned from them, where certain techniques or certain methods, I'm like, I'm never going to use that again. And so some, I'm just embarrassed that I even thought that, okay, this is a good idea because this person said that this will work. And so now having mentors that I can talk to and call, and people that have been in the horse world for a while that I respect highly and are very successful, that I can, you know, have that relationship where I can call and say, hey, I'm kind of stuck with this. Like, what do you think? And then to them be able to give me that feedback and get good advice, not advice that might get me in a sticky situation with the horse.
Right. And so that was something else I was going to ask you, is natural horsemanship. So that's your foundation. That's something that you use. And I wanted to ask, how do you define that? Because I feel like you could ask 10 people, how do you define natural horsemanship? And you'd get 10 different answers. So what's your definition of it, and how do you use it?
So for me is just the word that just comes to mind is partnership, mm-hmm. Where it has to be a give and take. Like, it can't just be me saying you have to do this and, you know, just push the whole time. And I think it's the same with people, like my friendships, with family, with friends. I feel like it just has to be that way. It can't be one-sided. And so for me, with the horses in particular, especially at the beginning, because I worked with so many horses that were troubled horses, that for me, it was like, I can't resort to what this horse was going through before it got to me, because that was obviously wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was like, again, that's where I was using my schooling, where I was like, I got to approach it a different way, and where it has to be more emotional. It has to be more psychological. It can't be just a physical thing, like where I'm forcing you to do this thing. And so for me, that's kind of the whole foundation of it is a partnership, where it's an equal partnership. And again, the whole emotional and psychological thing, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people just see, and I've seen it before with, and it's in all disciplines, where sometimes the trainer, will treat the horse as kind of like a robot. Like, the horse has mm-hmm. to do this when I say that it has to do it. And if it doesn't, then the horse is in trouble. And so for me, it's like, I don't feel like that's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. I have an 11-year-old daughter. And so for me, it's like, I don't ever want to be like that with her. I always want to be positive. I always want to make sure that I'm motivating her in a positive way, obviously setting guidelines and rules, but, you know, it has to be that where it's fun, and it has to be, I think too many people lose that. And I've always said that about myself, is that I don't want to be 60, 70, and then just be a miserable trainer, a miserable horseman, a clinician, because mm-hmm. I've seen it. I've seen clinicians that I've looked up to, and then I finally get to meet them and I see them interact with people, and they're just kind of like, just almost over it. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's like, are they just over it because of the horses, because of the people? And so for me, it's like, I always want to find a way to keep the horses engaged mentally, where they're always wanting to be with me, and not like, man, this guy's coming again. Like, I don't even want to get the halter put on me, because I don't even want to be around this guy. And so having that energy too, for me, and it's been a really cool thing, really learning more about energy with horses and with people. And again, being able to better that for myself too, just as a human being, mm-hmm. You know, cause my life, 90% of my life is horses. But then I have to have a personal life too. I have to find that balance. And so, but for me, that's what it is. It's a partnership where the horse is willing to work with you, and not something that's being forced.
And I think that's such a valuable perspective, and it's a valuable lesson. And I think we've all had that moment where we're faced with a 1,500-pound animal and we realize, I would rather work with you than one of us work against each other. Yeah. Like, if you're working against each other, we're not going to go anywhere, and it's going to be exhausting, and this is going to be ugly. And also, I'm going to lose. So how can we both win and work together and go in the same direction willingly? And that, I think, is a much more fulfilling relationship than the other.
It is. It's much more fulfilling, because then you're also allowing that horse to have a second or a third, fourth, fifth a chance at life, depending on how many mm-hmm. trainers it's been with. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what was so fascinating for me with the troubled horses is that, you know, they've been through a lot of stuff, and just like people, we all go through stuff, and we all have mm-hmm. a story, and that being able to have that second chance or third chance, where I think that's what life is about. And so, you know, seeing that change in those horses for me is cool. It's fulfilling. And I think that's why, you know, my mom, she's always said that it doesn't matter where I'm at in my career, that I always should find time to give back to the community. I should have time to give back to the youth, and to be able to make sure that, you know, they have some sort of guidance too. And so for me, that's a big part of it too, is with these horses. I'm like, you know, I've had horses that have come into my program, and the owner says, well, you know, basically this is the last stop. If you can't figure it out, then we're probably going to have to go a different path, unfortunately, and maybe even have to put the horse down. And so there's a little bit more pressure for me, where, you know, I'm invested in it emotionally, where I'm like, I don't want that horse to go that direction. I want this horse to have a good life. And so I feel like that's why I was so connected to that too. And that's why I was so drawn to the natural horsemanship part of it, because I'm like, there has to be a better way where things aren't just forced. It has to be something that's a partnership.
Well, and that I think has got to be really fulfilling for you when the horse comes to you and it's the owner has admitted this is the last stop. Either we do something or we have to do something we don't want to do. And so being able to turn that around has got to be incredibly fulfilling for you, and incredibly incredible confirmation that you made the right decision when you when you turned away from the career you had.
It's definitely fulfilling, especially because I'm just, you know, I'm a man of faith, and I make my mistakes, and but I always try to do the right thing. And so with me, with the horses, it's incredibly fulfilling where I know I'm like, okay, this horse has that opportunity to just have a better life. And I think it's such a cool feeling. It really is.
Well, I'd love to ask you more about that, and just, we could talk all day. But let's, let's shift away from that to another way that you give back, which is where you, you teach and you present at expos, like you've said a few times. So can we talk about, April and Equine Affair? You're going to be there with us, and we're so thrilled. Can you talk about what you're going to share there, what you're hoping to do?
Yeah. So, I'll be doing a few different topics. And so one of them will be a cold starting clinic, a presentation. And so that'll be fun, because I did the same, type of presentation in Massachusetts a few months ago. And so, so I'll get to do that again. So I'm excited for that. I love that whole idea and the whole concept behind starting a cult and being able to get a lot done in such a short time, but without having to get the horse frazzled. Like, it's still, you know, you keep you protect the mind, and they're able to continue on after that when they go home, and still again have a good foundation, and the owner be able to go from there. And so that's one of the topics I'll be doing. One of the other topics I'll be doing as well that I also did in Massachusetts is just better communication with your horse. I feel like so many times people get stuck with, you know, well, I asked my horse to do this and the horse didn't do this. And so then it's good to offer a different insight and be like, well, what about asking the horse this way? And, you know, the goal's still the same, but you're just, the delivery's different. And so I feel like I see that too much, just the miscommunication. And then there's frustration on behalf of the person and then on behalf of the horse. And so I think getting the water to be a little less muddy is awesome. And so I love that. I think I'll also be doing a reining cow horse clinic where we'll be working on body control. We'll be working on stops and spins and lead changes, depending on how I think it's about an hour and a half long for that session. And so I might, depending on, I think this last one was, we're still kind of deciding, but I think the last one we'll do another trailer loading clinic, because we did one in Massachusetts. So that one was really awesome, because I think that's something that people struggle with often, getting the horse in the trailer. So I think offering people a different idea and different way, methods of you know, getting a horse in a trailer, especially because for me, you know, I always tell people, for the most part, when you have an issue, the solution isn't going to happen where the issue is happening. So if the horse isn't getting into a trailer, it's not, the trailer's not the issue, that you're having issues elsewhere. So I always, you know, tell people, here are a few exercises to do away from the trailer, so that when you get to the trailer, the process is in theory a lot easier. And so, so I would love to do that again. So I think we might do that one again in Ohio.
Well, and that's such a great, I mean, I loved a lot of what you just said. I love the whole idea of asking a different way. You know, if you ask one way and the horse says no, it's just sort of silly to keep asking that same way. The horse is going to keep saying no. So try a different way. And then with the trailer, you're saying that maybe a trailer loading issue, you're seeing symptoms of that issue in other ways. So go work on it somewhere else. Cause we all know the horse trailer can be an incredibly I mean, it's a scary thing for the horse. It's a big black box, you know, and we're stressed because we're trying to get the horse into the trailer to take it somewhere. And it's just, it's one of those high stress, volatile situations. So working on the issue in a less stressful, less volatile way, and then circling back to the trailer. That's great.
Thank you. Yeah. And it was cool because there at Massachusetts, I worked through the issue away from the trailer, then approached it at the trailer and got the horses in the trailer, and the owners were there. So they also got to step in and do the same exercises away from the trailer and then go back into the trailer. And it was neat because if the horse got stuck, the person had something to fall back on. It wasn't just, well, let's just keep trying at the trailer.
Right.
And so it was cool for the audience to see that, well, it wasn't just me getting the horse in the trailer, that the owners were also able to get the horses in the trailer. And I asked afterwards, cause I didn't really want to have a prejudgment on what the horse was doing before I actually started working with the horse. So it was afterwards, I was like, so what was the horse doing once we got the horse in the trailer? And, you know, the owners were like, well, the horse was rearing, the horse was striking, and it was trying to run me over. And this is the easiest it's ever gone in the trailer. And, you know, and so it was pretty cool to have that transformation with the horse. And so I'm hoping, and it was cool because I had a lot of questions even after the expo. People were messaging me about, hey, well, what about this situation? What about this situation? And for me, sometimes it's hard to reply through a message to solve an issue through Messenger.
Right.
And so I believe that this is a really cool, and educational type of clinic, because again, like you said, you know, it's something that we all go through with the horses, and we get stressed out and the horse gets stressed out. And so it's super informative for people to have a clinic like this to see what they can do. And again, offer different insight on how to get it done.
Right. Well, so that's amazing. And I'm really looking forward to those clinics, and hopefully I'll get to see a couple of them myself, or at least, you know, walk by and see your magic. But I know the audience will. And so I'm looking forward to you getting to share that with them.
Thank you.
We're about out of time. And so my last question for you is, what are you looking forward to most about Equine Affair in Ohio?
So I always just love traveling. I love being able to go different places, meet different people, taste different food. Just the reception that I got in Massachusetts to me was beyond what I was expecting. It was incredible. And then everybody that I worked with through Equine Affair was so supportive and just, I don't know, they treated me as if they had known me for forever. And so that to me was just awesome to have that type of interaction and communication with everybody at Equine Affair. And the people that came up after my clinics to ask questions, to take pictures, to ask for autographs, to me, again, it was a type of, it was just awesome to have that reception. And so I'm looking forward to it again. I'm looking forward to working with the horses that I'll have during my clinics. I'm looking forward to working with the owners of the horses, and I'm looking forward to being in Ohio. And I've never been to Ohio, so it'll be kind of, actually, sorry, I've been to Ohio once, but it was a quick trip. So this will be kind of cool to be there a little bit longer and, you know, just kind of maybe go around town and have some food there too, because I'm such a foodie. And so so it'll be good for me to go over there and just see a whole different niche and a whole different group of people, because I know even in Massachusetts, there was a little bit more like towards the dressage and the jumpers. And so I think Ohio, from what I was told, that there's going to be a bit more of the Western discipline there. So that'll be kind of cool to have that.
Yeah. It's like the two equine affairs have the thing in common of we're all there to celebrate the horse, but you get to see the different facets of the industry. You know, up in Massachusetts, it's like you described, and then Ohio is a little bit different. So I'm glad that you were with us in Massachusetts and you get to be with us again in Ohio. So it's going to be awesome.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us and for chatting with me and telling your story. I think our audience is going to get a real kick out of it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. And listeners, if you want to learn more about JR, you, of course, can visit him online at JROBLESTraining.net, or you can follow him on Instagram at JRHorseTraining, or you can come and see him live and in person, and that I would recommend, at Equine Fair in Ohio on April 7th through the 10th, 2022. Our schedule is posted online, and we will see you at Equine Fair. Our next guest is Bailey Russell, the Marketing Communications Coordinator for Wahl Clipper Corporation. Wahl is one of our longtime sponsors at Equine Affair, and we are so excited to welcome them to our podcast family. So let's welcome Bailey to the show. Hi, Bailey.
Hi, thank you.
Well, we are so glad to have you on the show. So let's talk about Wahl. For those in our audience who aren't familiar with the company, can you give us a little bit of history and just kind of walk us through what Wahl is?
Yeah, absolutely. So Wahl is a family-owned corporation located in Sterling, Illinois, so very rural, surrounded by cornfields. I mean, it actually started in 1919 with the barber and beauty industry. So fun fact about Wahl is they were the first clipper to go to space, actually. And then over the years, Wahl has branched off into several divisions. So you can find Wahl animal clippers at PetSmart or distributors. And you can also find Wahl consumer clippers at Walmart. And even maybe your barber uses them on your own hair.
Most of our listeners, of course, are horse people, and we use clippers on our horses. So one of the fun things about Equine Affair is our trade show, of course, and then companies like yours have great booths there. So our visitors can come up to the Wahl booth and learn all about Wahl. So coming up on our event in Ohio, what can people look forward to seeing or learning about Wahl at the booth at the trade show?
We're excited to have our Wahl animal booth at the trade show again this year. At our booth, one thing that we have that we love is our elite educators. So these are professionals that work in the industry, and they are able to answer questions from people who stop by our booth. So if you have a question about how to avoid lines while clipping your horse, or how to accomplish a specific clipping technique and so on, you can ask our elite educators right then and there. They can show you videos that they've done. They can talk to you about, you know, if there's a specific way to hold your clipper, give you advice. And that's just one thing that we really pride ourselves on, is having resources available for people at the show and from professionals.
Well, and I think that's so important, because clipping your horse, in theory, it sounds so easy, right? But then you get the clipper in your hand and you're staring at your fluffy horse if it's winter, and you're like, oh, wait, what direction do I cut the hair? How long should the sweeps be? How often do I clean my clippers? When should I use the oil? I mean, it's just a whole thing.
Exactly. And I think oiling, or the conversation of, you know, can you clip your horse when wet, or should you wait until dry? Mm-hmm. Those are definitely questions that people have, but when you're able to talk to a person or a professional in person, it makes a huge difference rather than just reading an article.
Absolutely. Because it's a whole learned additional skill. You know, the thing about being a horse owner, or even taking lessons at a barn where you're hopefully getting to learn how to tack up and do all the things that are associated with caring for a horse, there are all these additional skills that you pick up or that you learn as you go along. And especially showing, I mean, clipping is super important. You want to have a great turnout. You want your horse to look your best, because that's what the judge sees first, is how you're turned out, how your horse has turned out. So clipping has a huge effect on everything, not just your horse's health and wellness, but also your turnout and how you look at the show. So I love that people can come to the booth and talk to clipping professionals who can give them sort of those inside tips.
Yeah, it's definitely an asset that we have at our booth.
So of course, it's a huge benefit that people can ask questions of professionals at your booth. And I think asking questions is one of the biggest things for people when they come to a trade show. But I wanted to ask you, what are kind of your best tips as a marketer for people to get the most out of coming to a trade show like the one at Equine Affair?
Yeah, for me, I would say looking ahead and seeing who's attending the show, what booths you want to stop by, what events you want to attend. So taking a look at the itinerary beforehand instead of blindly going into the event. So it's like going to the grocery store. You know, when you go to the grocery store, if you don't have a list of items you need, you kind of walk around and look at everything, maybe throw it in your cart, but then you ultimately end up leaving and forgetting something that you needed. So don't do that at Equine Affair. Look ahead, look at what you want to gain. Stop by the booths that you think will benefit you and attend the events that you think you can gain and learn something from.
So it's a little bit like do your homework before you come, because if you just come and kind of wing it, there are all these things you're going to miss out on that you didn't think about or that you didn't know were going to happen. But if you do a little bit of homework in advance, you're going to get the most out of the event.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what do you enjoy the most about working a trade show like the one at Equine Affair?
So it's meeting everybody from a beginner to somebody who's been clipping for 10 years and just hearing their stories as to how they got started, why they're attending Equine Affair. You know, if they follow our elite educators on social media or they refer to the Wall Classroom all the time for resources and that's how they've learned. So it's really just hearing every story from somebody who stops by our booth that I love most and gaining new connections.
Do you have any new products or updates about Wall that you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, I have some new products that I can't disclose yet. Hopefully by Equine Affair, we will be able to talk about that, but it's very exciting. And then another thing that I can talk about is the e-commerce website. So in late 2021, we launched our new website, which is a platform where our brand loyalists can go on, buy new tools, compare tools. So this is the first time in Wall's history that you could actually buy directly from wallanimal.com instead of one of our distributors.
Oh, awesome. So the new products you can't talk about sounds really exciting. So that's a good hook for people. If you guys are going to come join us at Equine Affair in Ohio, I would say definitely go by the Wall booth. But then the e-commerce website sounds really cool too. So can you say that URL again for our listeners?
Yeah, it's www.wallanimal.com. And on that website, we have, again, like I said, you can purchase clippers, but we also have the Wall Animal Classroom. I've mentioned that a few times throughout this, but for those who don't know, it is a free resource library where you can access videos, articles, pictures from our elite educators when it comes to specific clippings or techniques. And again, it's all free. So it's definitely a huge asset that we encourage our followers on social media to utilize.
Perfect. And that kind of ties back in with what we were talking about earlier, how you can be standing there staring at your horse with a clipper in your hands. And then you go, oh, I have so many questions. So it sounds like the Wall Animal Classroom is the place to go. So if people have questions about Wall or about their products or about how to use their clippers, what would you say are the best ways for them to learn more about the company and about the products?
Yeah, I would say following us on social media. We have specific people designed to respond to questions on social media. So if you shoot us a message at Wall Animal, then somebody is going to respond within 24 hours. And we also strive to post educational and purposeful posts on our social media. So everything we post has a purpose. We don't want to post something that isn't going to have you gain something. So if you look at our page, there's everything from pictures to reels to some crazy designs that people have done with their horses. So again, definitely following us on social media and following our elite educators. Our elite educators are always posting tips and tricks. And on our website, you can actually find a list of our elite educators.
Perfect. So I think that's the great thing about social media and about websites and about trade shows, is there are any way that you learn, whether it's visual or audio or actually interacting with a professional, there are all different kinds of ways for people to learn about companies and about products. And so I love that Wall sort of has that multi-pronged approach.
Yeah, we've tried over the years. We're trying to continue to expand, and we ultimately learn from our customers. So the more that people post and the more that people tag us, is the more that we learn on our end.
That's great. And that's a great tip. So if you are out there and you're using a Wall clipper and you have a question or you want to learn more, tag Wall in your posts, or tag Wall in your post where you're saying, hey, look at my horse. she or he looks incredible because of all the tips I learned from Wall's classroom or from Wall's elite educators. So kind of my last question for you, Bailey, because we're about out of time. This will be your first time joining us at Equine Affair, actually working for Wall. So what are you looking forward to most?
I am most looking forward to Equine Affair as a whole. So I started at Wall in 2020. And of course, Equine Affair was hosted virtually in 2021. Mm-hmm. So that was a little upsetting for myself, but I'm most looking forward to actually attending the show and just seeing what all the show entails.
Absolutely. We were thrilled to be back in person in Massachusetts this past fall, and we're even more delighted for the opportunity to come back and be in person again in Ohio this spring. So just like you, we're looking forward to it too. All right. Well, that about wraps up our episode. So thank you, Bailey, for joining us and for sharing a little bit about Wall.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me and Wall.
Absolutely. And thank you everybody for listening. And we will see you at Equine Affair in Ohio. Thanks for listening to the official Equine Affair podcast. I am your host, Allison Renborg. Equine Affair gratefully acknowledges its sponsors, Absorbine, U.S. Equestrian, Rods, Farnham, Cosequin, Nutrina, Cashman's, Horizon Structures, and GGT Footing. Equine Affair will be at the Ohio Expo Center in Columbus, Ohio on April 7th through the 10th, 2022, and at the Eastern States Exposition in West Springfield, Massachusetts, November 10th through the 13th, 2022. You can buy tickets, see the full event schedules, and all the latest news at equineaffair.com. And finally, catch up on all our past podcasts online by visiting equineaffair.com/home/podcast.